hits hard and can get you down. When that happens, you need a parental break.
Justin and Caitlin have been married for 4.5 years. They have one child and work together to accomplish their goals.
Justin and Caitlin will discuss all topics. They just want to give you a parental break.
Well, hello there and welcome to our podcast. I'm Justin.
And I'm Caitlin.
And we hope you've had a good week. And Caitlin, what have we been up to this week?
Well, I've been working and taking care of the house, and you had surgery on Wednesday.
Yes. For those that don't know and are new listeners, I had a biopsy done. Everything came back normal, so no worries about that. Yay.
Praise God.
Yes. But other than that, today we're going to get into a very serious topic. The actual title of this episode is going to be Church, We're Failing the Congregation, and So Are We. And the reason why is, Caitlin, do you want to start out and tell them why this is such a big issue today?
For us?
Or just in general?
In general? Some of the pastors are leading the church astray.
Yes, definitely. That's the problem. A lot of these pastors are leading the church astray. Caitlin, did you happen to see any of the videos that I shared with us in our special group?
I did.
What did you think of that first one? In fact, I'm going to play the clip first, let you all listen to it, and you tell me how you feel about it. Hang on one second. Where'd it go? Well, I'll just pull it off of the person that I originally sent it to. All right, here we go.
Hey, sit down. Sit down. What are you coming up here to do? You want to come take over the service? Huh? What do you want? What?
I just want a prayer.
Get out of here.
Can I get a little grace?
No, you can't. No, you get out of here. Get him out of here. Drag this bozo out. Pull him out. Hey, help him out. Get him out. And you know what? Anybody wants to come up here and take over the service? We'll throw you out of here, buddy. This church is not a free-for-all. This isn't an open mic. This isn't a karaoke bar. Okay? I'm the man of God here. I meet the qualifications. I run this church. And if you don't like it, then get out. This is not some church where every first-time visitor and brand new believer and people who've never even read the Bible are going to come up and take over the service. Not happening. Okay? If you want that kind of watered-down leadership, go to some house church with your Amish buddies and sit around the coffee table with your coffee clatch. This is a New Testament church. We have a bishop here. We have an overseer here. Like it or lump it. And if you don't like it, feel free to get up and leave the service at any time. And if you're one of these oneness people, why don't you have the guts? Why don't you have the courage to get up and leave right now? Have the gall and the courage to come and face us and tell us. Instead of being like Dominique who texts us. After he sat, you all heard him sit in the front row of this church yelling amen every time I preached about the Trinity. Go back on YouTube. Watch all the YouTube videos. And what's he doing? He's sitting in the front row yelling amen. And now he's telling people, oh, I never really fully agreed on the Trinity. Then why'd you yell amen every time I talked about it and every time I preached against oneness? I'll tell you why. Because he's a hypocrite. That's why. People are hypocrites who like to sit in the front row and say amen loudly even though they don't even believe in it. That's called being a hypocrite. And then it's like they're yelling amen one day, and then 2 days later it's like, oh, I got to leave the church because I don't believe in the Trinity. You say, I'm not comfortable with this. Then just take a hike. Go take a hike. You know what? You ought to be thankful that you have a pastor who stands on Bible doctrine and doesn't care what people say. And I don't care if 90% of people get up and walk out or 50% of people walk out. I don't care. Because you know what? I'm not going to pastor a oneness cult. I'm not going to pastor a Pentecostal church. I'm the pastor of a Baptist church. And if you're not a Baptist, then get out. We're not going to let a bunch of heretics come in and split this church and bring in all this junk. This church is going to be unified around Bible doctrine. It's not happening. You say, well, it's just sweetness and light. Can't we all get...
Caitlin, what'd you feel about that?
Anger.
Yes. Here's why I have a problem with it. First, he says, I'm a man of God, and I have all the qualifications. Well, if you...
I own this church. No, you don't run this church. God does.
Yes. And I'm sorry. If you think that, you're in the wrong teachings, buddy. Because you should feel belong to a church. I mean, you don't know what that man's situation was. You don't know if that man needed desperate prayer.
But he could have came in there.
He was probably trying to be talked off the ledge. You never know.
Yeah, he might have been wanting to commit, you know.
Yes.
Just to kill himself. And he didn't give a 2 cents for him.
Right. And see, I have a problem with that. And this is why I'm saying, church, we are falling short. Not because of the pastors, but because we have come to an understanding and a belief that loving thy neighbor is getting a vaccine. Loving thy neighbor is...
Standing 6 feet apart from them.
Standing 6 feet apart from them. No, loving thy neighbor is loving up on each other and talking to each other, talking people out of their struggles, leading them towards Christ.
Lifting them up when they're down.
Lifting them up when they're down, not kicking them to the curb like this pastor did. And I'm sorry, Mr. Pastor Steven Anderson, saying this is not a karaoke bar. Sometimes your church has to be that way. Sometimes your church has to get off their chest what's going on. After all, everyone has a testimony when it comes to following Christ. Bottom line, I have a testimony. Caitlin has a testimony. The people listening that are in Christ have testimonies. And I'm sorry, this is why some of our friends are turned off by the church. And I'm sorry. This irritates me to the core. Caitlin, did you read the story that I sent you?
I believe I did.
Okay. Let's talk about this, because this was interesting. So, as you know, John MacArthur was teaching a sermon. And he basically said, God made us male and female. Which is true. The Bible says it. Genesis 1 or Genesis 2, I believe it is, talks about how God made man and woman. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry. YouTube has flagged his sermon as hate speech. I'm sorry. You don't get to flag something that's true as hate speech, YouTube. And I'm sorry. Yes, there is LBGTQ, the alphabet mafia, as our side will call it. There is that.
Oh, don't forget plus.
Yes, but I'm sorry. Some of the things, and I'm not saying all of the alphabet mafia, but some of these ones that, like, for example, that teacher that brags about teaching kids gender fluidity.
In a preschool
setting. I'm sorry. You are taking your belief and using it. And I'm sorry. That's just wrong in my honest opinion. Now, I have some friends that are part of the alphabet mafia. And I will never talk ill will about them. Because it's not my place to judge.
I hate to correct you, but it is in Genesis 1:27.
Wow.
Sorry.
I got it wrong.
You're okay. It just says, this is the CSB version, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female.
And yet they tagged John MacArthur's sermon as hate speech. But, yeah. So, anyways, did you hear about the baptism? Here's another video. Listen to this one.
I warn you that the video may be disturbing to watch. So here it is. Take a look at this. You can see the one-year-old boy crying. You can hear him while Father Foyty starts to immerse him in a baptismal font. When the boy does not cooperate, the father uses force to continue the ritual. You can also see him fend off from the boy's mother, who was trying to get her son back. Well, the father said the mother was overreacting. But the following day, the Russian Orthodox Church released a statement. It says Father Foyty has now been banned from performing baptism for a year. Well, the tragic daycare fire that killed five children.
1 year.
He should have been gone forever.
1 year. Are you serious?
He could have done some damage to this child.
He's probably done some emotional damage to this child.
The whole family, not just the child.
Yes. And see, this is what I'm saying is, we're kind of trying to overstep our boundaries in the church setting. And I say that because you got pastors, and this will actually lead into our next topic, pastors that will say very hurtful things that are definitely not true and try to promote it as scripture. And if you guys haven't been living under a rock, here's the next thing. So everybody knows about Pastor Greg Locke, pastor in Tennessee. Well, he came out during a sermon, and I don't have the video here. I should have recorded the video, but anyways, saying, comparing being demonized and basically being oppressed by a demon to things of this world, like, for example, having OCD, ADHD,
autism,
that's the major one, depression, anxiety, comparing all these to being demonized by something. I'm sorry, Pastor. You do not get to say those kind of things. Caitlin, you have an autistic brother. How do you feel about this?
I am outraged. Like, I am to the point where it's hurtful. I'm hurt. The ones who have autism, you know, they can't really communicate between, you know, how we are right now. And then there's always, you know, there's help for that. There's, you know, learning process that goes into that. And right now my brother is getting help. It took 7 long years for my family to finally get answers. And they have officially put him on the autism spectrum. He is going to be 13 later this week, and the 4th of February. And he is living in a group home in Myrtle Beach because just the doctors up here can do so much. And then down there they have, you know, more of a age group home for him, you know. And I'm going to surprise him by calling him, I think, on his birthday, hopefully.
Yeah.
If not the day after. But anyway, he's learning a lot more. They're getting him up to where he should be or needs to be. But he has a mind of a 2.5 to 3-year-old. So basically like our daughter is now. She's almost 3. She'll be 3 in a few weeks. And he thinks the way she does.
Let's talk about some of the things some people have said on this video. This one is from someone on YouTube. As someone who is autistic, what frightens me about this isn't what this guy was saying. It's the fact that the people in the front row are giving him a standing ovation. I feel targeted by lunatics. I'm sorry. Whatever he says, you can't say it's gospel because it's not gospel. Mm. Because I've read over and over in my Bible, and there's nothing about children of epileptic episodes going to Christ. It just talks about all children. Yeah. Even if you look at the King James Version, that he says, oh, he follows by heart. But this right here, I'm part autism. A lot of people don't know that. I feel attacked by this. because you're saying that the reason I have autism is because I have a demon in me. See, this is the kind of teachings that the old church used to teach. When they were performing exorcisms, a lot, it's not all fact, but many of them were performed false exorcisms and come to find out the person was autistic or something else. Wasn't demonized like they say they were. That's one of them. Another one was...
I want to read the next one. It says, this is a perfect example of someone twisting scripture to prove their opinion. But yet, he ignores the scripture about adultery. To scream and perform on a stage is not godly or Christian. Since he is not a doctor, giving parents medical advice on is very dangerous. And strictly, again, his opinion.
Yes, I was going to come to that. Who twists scripture? And I'm not calling him that, but who twists scripture?
The devil.
Satan twists scripture. Mm-hmm. You remember that from our apologetics class that we took at church.
Yeah.
This is a perfect example of twisting scripture to fit your narrative. This is the kind of stuff that the people on the left are doing right now with saying, all are welcome, but all must present vaccine status. To love thy neighbor means to get a vaccine. No, we've fallen short of what it means to love thy neighbor. The next one, this one said, I wouldn't regard Greg Locke as a pastor because of his adulterous behavior that was, as I understand, gone without repentance. But he hit the nail on the head with this one. If you don't like it, it's not him you disagree with. It's the Bible. I'm sorry. Where in my Bible does it say anything about autism, anything about epileptic seizures, anything like that?
It says Jesus
told all the children.
Not some, not the light-haired children, the blue-eyed children. No, he didn't discriminate. It's all the children.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I'm sorry. I'd say to this person, you are not understanding what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is teaching to, yes, love thy neighbor. But that doesn't mean only a certain group of your neighbor. That means everybody. This is why I say we don't talk ill will about the alphabet mafia like some of these pastors do. Because we're supposed to love thy neighbor and lead them to Christ. And then they have to make the decision. We can't force them to. Going back to what Odin said about convergent therapy. It only works to an extent. But when it gets to the point where it can actually turn someone away from it, that's when you draw the line and say, brother, you are out of line. Or sister, you are out of line.
I'm going to read this one from the from a parent of a autistic child. She says, is this guy serious right now? As a parent raising a child on the spectrum, this makes me sad that so much hate is being spread. My grandmother would have never taught us hate like this, and we were raised in a church going home. This isn't what it was taught. Love all the children. Speaking such hate to hate, you're the devil. I think she forgot to put some periods.
Yeah. That's okay. Let me tell you what the pastor has said, because...
And let me see this one. Not photoshopped. I screenshotted this one. It says, you are no preacher. Jesus would have never said, and I think he said that.
Yes. Let me tell you what Pastor Greg Locke has said. And this is what he has said. And... it makes me even more mad at looking at this because it goes beyond what it needs to say. I'm not going to read everything of it, but I'm going to read a few lines of it. in regards to the unbelievably massive controversy, from my sermon this past Sunday, I'm going to very plainly say this once. So I implore you, no matter which side of the situation you are on, please pay very close attention to what I am saying. This entire fiasco was created by super leftist publication. First of all, no, it wasn't. You said what you said. I've watched your 55-minute sermon and about into 30 minutes into that sermon, you talk about this. But anyways, that took a minute and a half clip of my sermon, spliced the video, and hoardedly took everything I said out of context and the framework that I was saying it in. Yes, Caitlin.
So, sorry, I had my hand up. So, there's this lady that will go, that her comment goes with this, about the media and everything.
Mm-hmm.
She says, and I quote, "I went back and listened for myself to the entire sermon. I'm sorry to report the media did not misquote you. You said what you said. Pride is a dangerous, destructive spirit to partner with. By the way, I followed you for a long, long time, and I'm not a hater. I am a spirit-filled woman who loves Jesus, but I will call out error and pride when I see it, no matter who the leader is. Nowhere in the Bible are epileptic children called autistic."
Now remember, this pastor has been controversy in the news before.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yes, I agree with Odin. We shouldn't take much into it because it's coming from this pastor that believes that Trump is like the Lord and Savior and all this and everything like that. But I'm sorry. You saying these things can lead to suicides. You saying these things can lead down to a dangerous path because no kid's thinking about being, who's autistic's thinking about being saved when you say those things. What they're thinking about, and I can tell you what they're thinking about, because like I said, I'm partially autistic. They're thinking, oh my goodness, Christ doesn't love me because I'm autistic. Then who loves me? My parents say they love me, but yet they're standing and cheering and shouting and hooping and hollering when this pastor is saying these blasphemous things. Because let's call it what it is. It's blasphemy what he is saying. What should I do? You're leading kids down a dangerous path that you do not want to lead them down when you're a pastor. And I said what I said.
Now I'm going to read a few that are for this so-called man.
Let me finish reading what he said.
Okay.
Let's skip most of it. My statement was not some off-the-wall, isolated rant. I realize that everybody on social media is used to pastors standing up, falling over themselves, backpedaling, and apologizing every time they walk into some controversy. Well, that's not me. When I'm wrong, I will get up and publicly apologize, as I've done on many occasions. However, I have the Bible on my side. I dig my heels in, and I will not budge one inch, no matter how harsh the criticism, how and hatred comes my way. Well, you're going to have a lot of hatred coming your way, Pastor, because what you said was highly inappropriate. Then he goes on a rant and says, "It's interesting how many baby-butchering, abortion-loving people are trying to say I attack children. Hypocrites. It's also a shame how many pastors and church leaders jump on the bandwagon because they are afraid of anything deliverance related." He says, "Read a Bible. You'll have a very hard time explaining away that what Jesus did and what the New Testament says. Spiritual warfare, demonic attacks are just as real today as they have ever been." Yes, they are, but not in this situation, sir. "I will continue our series." So basically he's saying, oh, here we go. "I will not be bullied." He puts that in all caps. Read that again. "I stand with what Jesus said. If you are unwilling to see the entire message or actually have a civil conversation, no resolution will be reached. We either believe the Bible or we don't. Persecution is the fruit of truth. Well, that is true. People twist truth when it's uncomfortable. It is unfortunate that people want this to be true. They wish it's what I said. They seek destruction for those that push back against the religious establishment. Oh, and for the record, I have a special needs son that had 35 surgeries. Excuse me? So, you shouldn't even be saying what you're saying before. If you have a child that's had special needs as well. But, I don't get it. But Caitlin, go ahead and read the next one you wanted to read.
Oh my God, sorry. Okay, here it is. So this is a man that is for this pastor, or so-called pastor, I should say. Stand strong, pastor. We need more warriors like you in the ministry. I, as a pastor in the inner city of Indianapolis, sorry, am with you. The word of God does not need defending. Its truth will always rise on top.
See, as pastors like this, and as pastors like the one that threw the person out, they give the Christian church a bad name. Because Christ said, come to me, but yet you're throwing up a roadblock. Because that's basically what you're doing. And I'm sorry, I just feel that way.
And here's another one that's for this man. Pastor Locke, your messages are controversial. Sorry, I'm not with it today. If they were not the truth, then it wouldn't be
controversial.
Thank you. I have recently read Bible for the first time, praying to God to give me wisdom to understand. Half these people don't even know what they're talking about because they're when I'm reading this out loud, it makes me look like an idiot. But anyway. I got same thing. See, I don't even know what she means by this. I got same thing you're saying about deliverance. Also, Jesus gave us divine healing. I'm so excited about this great awakening and the revival that will spread on this earth. I'm praying God is protecting you and family. Keep doing you. I will be there in the spring to be baptized. Until then, God bless you and your family. Sending prayers and love from Louisiana.
Well, this one person said, how is saying that someone with autism is demon-possessed meant for any purpose? You said it as plain as day. There's no taking that out of context. I mean, he said it black and white, clear as crystal.
And you can't take it back either.
And you can't take it back. And this one, I don't think it was the one above that stand strong pastor. The red flag that comes up for me in this post is that you feel a need to put others down while defending your integrity. Your comment about the preacher standing up, falling down, etc. was not necessary. I'd even read past that. Anyone that has to put people down to lift themselves up is insecure and most often full of bitterness.
There's another one that's for this person. I have been watching you for a couple of years. I watch every Sunday and Wednesday. I was watching last Wednesday. I have an autistic 22-year-old son whom I love very much. Pastor Greg Locke did not say anything wrong or attack autistic people in any way. We support you and stand behind you, Pastor Greg Locke. We love you and your family. Why don't you actually go and listen on YouTube? Touch not God's anointed.
I listened to the sermon. I listened to the 55 minutes of his sermon.
I know. We both did.
And I can tell you what 55 minutes of that sermon was. It was 20 minutes, maybe some truth. The 35 minutes of it was all blasphemy. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that people don't want to understand that what this guy is doing is presenting a blasphemistic ideology. But that's what you're doing. You are saying, anyone that has any type of ailment, whether it's ADHD, OCD,
anxiety, depression,
picking up a bottle, taking more meds, or anything like that is demonized. No, what you should be doing is going to those people and loving on those people and showing them that God loves you instead of preaching this blasphemous idea. Sorry.
If Addy wakes up, you're going in there. I'm not.
Sorry.
No.
It's this just really got me heated, Caitlin, because
I understand, me too, but I'm not doing that.
I know. But I just feel like
all these famous pastors want is the money.
Oh, well, proof of that is what was all the pastors saying when 2020 hit? Hindsight 2020. 2020 is going to be your best year ever.
And what happened?
I'm sorry. Mm-mm. I laugh at it now because it's hilarious to think about this. Like, for example, what was John Gray saying up the street from us? He was saying, hindsight 2020. 2020 is going to be your best year ever. And blah, 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 blah. And God told me so.
And since then, he's not here no more.
Well, yeah. But that's for another reason. Mm-hmm. But people like Kenneth Copeland, people like Joel Osteen,
people like that Stephen man who just Burke or whatever his name is, he compared Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, to this rapper, Lil Nas X.
Yes, I heard about that.
That ticks me off.
I went back and listened to some of Odin and Tears' old podcasts. Did you know that? I believe it was a Catholic school, put a picture of George Floyd as Jesus Christ.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Let that sink in. We have gotten to a point in society that truth doesn't mean what it means anymore. And it's sad to hear that, because that's what the end of times talks about. The end of times talks about that truth will not be what it's perceived. People that think truth is this will turn around and say that's not truth. That's a lie. And see, this is why the church is being persecuted like it is. Not on a physical level, like the church in biblical times, but on a more social level, because people like this cause the church to be null and void, because they believe in prosperity teaching. They believe in teaching feel-good pastoring. They believe in...
Then people want to hear what will sound good to their ears.
Right. I mean, you have Kenneth Copeland on tape saying, I don't want to get in a commercial flight with in a tube of demons. Excuse me? So you're saying the people are demons? And I go back to that video all the time because it's one of those videos that you can tell there's not something right with the man. Because when he fires back at the lady, he has a look on his eyes that...
The Inside Edition lady?
Yeah.
Oh, I love her. And I love Inside Edition. And he was a jerk to her.
Yes, he was. And
I've never liked him to begin with.
And I'm sorry. Yes, you give money to the church. You're supposed to tithe. The Bible says that.
10%,
yes. I mean, but in my believing, in my teaching, it's whatever you can give.
And whatever, yeah.
Because you think about it, back in biblical times, even the poor person couldn't give 10% of their income.
Yeah.
So
they gave whatever they had.
They gave whatever they had. I mean, one gave their last shekel that would have given them, you know, food for the night to Christ. I mean,
yep.
I think the church is failing. But I also think we're failing the people in the church Because when's the last time people have actually gone to someone and say, brother, are you all right? Sister, are you all right? Let's pick you up. You know, let's pick you up, dust you off, and let's get it going. Instead, you got pastors like this that say, well, I believe this because the Bible supposedly taught me this, which, like I've said, I've read that passage over and over and over again. I have yet to see that in the passage. And until I see it in the passage, I'm going to keep saying you're a blasphemer for saying what you said. Now, I'm not going to say I'm on a high moral ground, because I'm not. None of us are. We are all sin and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the bottom line. But, just like Winter Soldiers call out the BS about, you know, fake patriots and all this, and summertime patriots, and we'll call out that BS. I'm sorry, I'm calling out the BS on here. Because what you're saying is wrong and dangerous doctrine. Yep. Toxic doctrine, so to speak. And I've been part of churches that have taught toxic doctrine. And guess what? I've gotten up and left those churches. Because I don't trust what they say. And that's the bottom line. But Caitlin, do you want anything else? Say anything else?
I think that was it.
Because we're almost at like 40 minutes on this episode.
Oh, well, that's it.
Well, that'll do it for this podcast. We're going to try to get Unpopular Opinion Queen in on our next episode.
Sorry, that was my phone. I'm playing the game, so.
Of course you're playing a game.
See, my mental is just not working today.
Yeah, but that'll do it for this podcast. I'm Justin.
And I'm Caitlin.
And we'll see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Guys, we have now reached 10 episodes. If you want to be a guest on our podcast, please email us at the email provided. Caitlin and I have decided after 10 episodes, we are now going to allow guests. So if you're interested, email us. We will email you back. We hope you have a blessed one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.